Amen. I feel kind of like a missionary after a video like that because the pictures definitely don't do the scenery there justice. But I'll walk you through just a little bit of what we did each day so that the video will make just a little bit more sense. On the first couple of pictures, I made the kids all arrive here at 4:45 in the morning. And so that's why it was so dark when we left. We traveled all day on that first initial day on Monday. And once we got to Anchorage, it's about a 4 or 5 hour drive down to Homer. And we took our time on the way. The missionary knew lots of great spots that we stopped. And just as soon as, I think we were probably less than a mile and a half, 2 miles out of Anchorage. And all of a sudden, I'm following the missionary, and he just veers off the road. I really abruptly, no turn signal, anything, and pulls along the shoulder. And so me and John Tripp were following in vans. And we pulled out right there. I think we left John hanging out in the highway to get over. And what's going on all of a sudden? Well, we were barely out of Anchorage, and on this cliff on the side were these little white goats that were just climbing up these sheer rock walls. And he gets out of the van. He says, "This never happens." He said, "You never see this kind of wildlife on a trip or as you're just driving down the road." And so it started immediately. We started seeing just all kinds of wildlife. And I told him right at the beginning, I said, "Sir, I brought you 19 city kids that have never seen a lot of wildlife, and they're going to be amazed by a lot of these things that come out." So we traveled down the rest of Monday, arrived very late into Homer. I think we got to our houses around, 11:30, 12 o'clock that night. And so it had been a very, very long day of traveling. And where's my wife at? Should I tell this part of the story? She's giving me the, if you want to. So I'm going to make Pastor Abby feel better because he's told lots of stories like this where he has just unknowingly put himself in the best of accommodations and put his wife in not the best of accommodations. And I unknowingly did that on this trip as well. So it's very late. We pull in. We decided to go to the girls' houses, the house first, because we were being chivalrous. And so we pull in, and it was interesting on the outside, to say the least, as we drove in. And I'd only seen these on Vrbo, the app. I'd only seen the pictures of them. We pull in. It's wooded, a little bit dark around the house. There's vines growing up on the porch next to it. I thought, I hope the inside looks better. So we get out and we walk into the house. And it got a little bit better, but not a whole lot better. So it had a little bit of a smell because it had been closed up for quite a while. And so we walked in, we got the girls' stuff out of the vehicles and put it in there. And I said, "Honey, are you okay? Can the guys go to our house now?" And she looked at me like she might want to stab me, but then she said, "Sure, honey, you can go on." So we got out and we loaded up. I loaded up with Mr. Tripp in his van, all the guys, and we start leaving. And I immediately looked at John and I said, "We've got to get on these guys right now." And I said, "No matter what our house looks like, it's not better than the girls' house." And so we started prepping them on the way to our house. So we got lost about 3 times trying to find our house. That first night, again, we left here at 4:45 in the morning. It's now midnight their time, which would have put it somewhere around 4 in the morning here, 4 or 5 in the morning. So we've been traveling for a full 24 hours. So we're just tired. We want to find somewhere to lay down and go to sleep. What's that? And it's still light outside was the other thing. It was still perfectly light outside at midnight. And so we get up the mountain to our house, and we round the corner. And it was one of those things that's like in a slow-motion movie. Everything slowed down for me, and I was like, oh, no. We pulled into the most gorgeous driveway, log cabin, nice house. We pulled down the driveway, and I immediately pulled out my phone, and I called my wife, and I said, "Do you want to switch houses?" I said, "I will load all these guys back up and we will switch houses right now." And she said, "No, we're all settled. We're all settled." Other than when they went and flipped the thermostat on the side of the wall, nothing happened. And she called me. She said, "Something's wrong with the AC. I said, "Okay, do I need to come back over there?" So I started looking, just, you know, how you get those ideas. I started looking at the listing again. And there was no AC in their house. There was no air conditioning, which there was none in ours either, in my defense, okay? They don't do air conditioning in Alaska because they don't need it. I said, "Just open the windows, I guess." And so we walked in, and But to the girls' credit, not one of them complained to me all week. And I think it ended up being manageable. Right, girls? Manageable? Okay, they're not giving me high signs, but that's okay. We're home now. Next time I'll do more checking. You guys will get the nice house, okay? But so that was right off the bat when we got there. That was a little. It was not funny at 12 o'clock at night, but it is a little bit humorous now. But we all made it. We had a great time in the house. It was a great setup. The guys had their own house. The girls had their own house, and it really did create a fun environment for the kids to stay in for the week. Then the next day, Tuesday, we went immediately. We took the kids after traveling that far, jet lag and all that, and we drove 3 more hours the next morning and went to a hike that is the Exit Glacier Park like they talked about. If you've never been there, if you ever travel to Alaska, I highly recommend doing it. It's the most beautiful scenery you'll ever see. And I think, guys, what did we decide? We hiked about 8 miles total, about 4 miles to the top, 4 miles, is that close to right? So about an 8 mile round trip plus the altitude. This guy did not make it to the top, but I made it real close. And so I was pretty proud of myself. All these young guys, they made it all the way up. But just beautiful. We had a great day just sightseeing there in Alaska. Got great photos and things. So we traveled back. And then the next day we started on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. We did painting projects, different fix-it projects around the church in the morning. And then half of them did that, and another half of the team went out and canvassed for the teen rally that would be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. And that first day, I have to brag on our kids just a little bit. They did outstanding, especially the ones that went out canvassing. It was pouring down rain that morning when we woke up. And the missionary and I were texting back and forth, should we cancel it? Should we do something else today? And we decided to go ahead with it. I think it did slack up a little bit, but you saw some of the pictures of how they were dressed. They just went out and were able to bear through the weather, and they just did a fabulous job, didn't complain at all. And then each night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, we had a teen rally there at their church, and it was just a huge blessing. It was a blessing for them and a blessing for us to see the young people come out. It was neat for our kids to see, and I kept making application to this all week. They probably got tired of hearing it. But it was neat for them to see all week people that they had invited, people that they had seen out in different places, to see them come to the church services on those evenings. It was a neat thing for them to be able to actually visually see that, and I kept making the application, as I know they already knew, of back home and how impactful that can be when you're out visiting different individuals. Then on Saturday, we went out. That was kind of our last sightseeing day. We went on a boat tour for most of the afternoon that takes you out in the bay near Homer over to Saldovia. And the video did not do it justice at all, but we actually got to see right towards the end of our trip, we saw 3 orcas, which look very similar to the killer whales that were out there, and a very rare thing as well to see one of those, and not only that, but to see a whole family of them. So we got to experience that, and it was very cold on the deck of that boat, but a great, great day out sightseeing. And then we were able to spend an entire day there in the church at Homer Independent Baptist Church with the Grissomaw family and their entire church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and then they had an afternoon service for us. And it was just a huge blessing, testimony times in the morning of what God had done through the week, and then just a really unique opportunity there to minister in their church services. Then Monday was our day to travel home, and that's where the trip got really interesting. When we arrived in Anchorage, I knew ahead of time, I was getting notifications on my phone, but I didn't tell the kids. I think some of them found out on their own. But our flight got delayed in Anchorage. I was getting the notifications as we drove. It was already an extremely late flight. I think we were initially supposed to leave about 2:45 in the morning, which would have been Tuesday morning. We were supposed to leave out, and it got pushed back to 3:30. So as we're loading, I'm immediately thinking, okay, I've got 30 people on this plane that we've got to get from our plane to our connecting flight when we get in Seattle. And I start looking at the layover times and when we're going to land, and it starts running through my head, I don't know if we're going to make our connecting flight. And so Brian and Tony and John and somebody started talking, are we going to make this next flight? We don't know. So I went and talked to the people there, and I got And if any of you work for an airline other than Jim, Jim will get some humor out of this. But the airline individuals, when I explain to them, I've got 30 people that have to be on this plane and we've got to make our connecting flight. She didn't say this, but I basically got a, good luck. We hope you make the next one. And we think you will. We think it's going to work out. So we were supposed to leave the ground in Anchorage then after it got delayed at 3:30. Well, I think most of us got on the plane, got in our seat, put our seatbelt on, and went to sleep just about as soon as we sat down in the plane. And I remember waking up when we were taking off of the runway, and it was 4 a.m. And we had initially been supposed to have an hour and a half layover. I started looking at times, and we were going to have about 10 minutes between flights when we got there, which if you know anything about air traffic, that's not happening, that you're going to get switched over. So we're flying, and I'm a little concerned. I'm trying to trust the Lord, first mission trip. I'm trying to trust that it's going to happen. And so I did notice as we were flying, and this has never happened to me before, maybe it's happened to you, we were two gates away from where we arrived to where we had to connect to leave again. I mean, the Lord took care of us. We were side by side with where we needed to be. And as we were flying, I was talking to one of the employees there on the plane, and he looked and he said, "It looks like they've held your plane another 20 minutes. And so when we landed in Seattle, they rushed us to the gate, to the airplane, to our gate so that we could depart. They told everybody that wasn't connecting, stay seated. Everybody that is connecting, get off the plane. They're waiting on you. And so we took off, and literally, I think it was Gabby told me this too. She said, "I think we were in that airport about 30 seconds of the whole time." We walked off of our plane, we did a big curl, and we got right back on the next plane, and we were headed back home. And to beat it all, the funniest thing about the whole thing is we landed a half hour before we were initially scheduled to land. Tell me how that happens. I don't know. Jim may tell me there's a turbo button on the plane somewhere that gets you home faster. But I could tell you many more stories of how God did that throughout the week, but God just lined things up for us all week. I jokingly told some of the guys, I said, "The Lord has made me look like a really good planner this week. Like, I really know what I'm doing." I said, "I didn't plan half of these things that just happened to work out for us." The Lord just took care of us immensely on the trip. And we just had a lot of laughs. We had a lot of good times. The group, the atmosphere was great on this trip. You take 30 people anywhere. Sometimes tempers can get stressed and strained, but we had a great time. And as you can see from Tony's testimony, they love giving me a hard time, which we'll just leave that there. But anyway, they said it was a 15-passenger van just for my admonition, and it was a 12-passenger van. But we were in Alaska, so the rules weren't quite as strict as they were here. But just to get him back just a little bit, ask Tony, Mr. Hamilton, at the end of the service to see his dance video from the mission trip. You will greatly enjoy that, okay? I'm just saying. it's all in good fun, and it was a humorous moment for me anyway, as I called Tony up to play a game in front of a bunch of teenagers. It was awesome. I called him Colonel the whole time because he's a colonel in our U.S. Army, and I told him the whole trip. I said, "You're a colonel, but on this trip, I'm the general, so you have to follow along with what I was saying." But he was good-natured about that. But we just had a great time. The Lord did great things throughout the week. We saw many families come that had been witnessed to. Many that the church was going to make follow-ups with, that was their first time attending. And I'm not just saying this because I'm the youth pastor, but over and over again, the missionary family just thanked me for our teenagers. And that's to you parents. That's to commend you for your young people and how well they interacted with the teenagers from the church there and how sweet they were to the missionary family. They just really did a great job. And so I want to commend you parents for a great job there with your kids. And we can't wait. We already were talking about where are we going next. And that's always good when you're on a trip that they want to go somewhere with you again. And so we had a great time. And we're just so thankful to what God did while we were there. Just really briefly tonight, if you take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll just be a moment. My wife told me I couldn't preach a full-length message after saying all that. So I'll give you a thought this evening. But something that God has really laid on my heart. As soon as we got back, this was my first devotion the day after we got back, and I thought it was very applicable and an application for not only those that went on the group but for each individual as we are united here as a church together. just a really important thought for us to think about in the day and time with which we're living. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Just know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." I want to focus our time and attention here very quickly on verse number 5 and talk about this idea of being close to God's plan. Being close to God's plan. Let's pray and ask God to help us here in just a few moments. Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, thank you for the opportunity and privilege that we have to be here this evening. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we know wherever we travel, the Word of God is still sharp and powerful, sharp as a two-edged sword that divides, and Lord, that gets to the heart of the matter with each individual person. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our lives and what you will do. We pray that you'd bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read all of chapter 3 to verse 5 really just to lay the groundwork for where this passage is, but focusing in on verse 5 where God says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Dr. Clarence Sexton, that was the president, or is the president of Crown College where I attended, he made this statement to us over and over and over again, and it's never left me. He said, the most dangerous lie is that which is closest to the truth. And as he would read through these in ministerial class, and he would talk about the different things that these verses lay out that would be for us in the last days or in the end times of our time here on earth, he would say the most dangerous part of these verses lies in verse number 5. And as I get older and older, I think it rings more and more true, this verse of Scripture that rings out having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now we know as we look and study the textual context of this verse that this is really speaking to those who would be against Christianity, those who would go in an opposite direction, those who would use religious things for material gain. They would use a form or an identity, if you will, of godliness, but really not have any serious investment placed upon the things of God. But I want, if just a moment tonight, if we could make application to us as believers out of this verse, I believe that as we live in culture that is inundated with this type of philosophy and theology of this form of godliness, that some of it starts to rub off on God's people. And as we look at this tonight, I think the most dangerous thing for you and I, and the most dangerous thing for our young people that have just traveled on a mission trip to Alaska, the most dangerous thing for us would be to get very close to God's plan, but miss the actual purpose that God has for us in this world. Would you notice just a few things with me tonight from this text? Notice the form that God talks about here. I believe this form, as you study this out and as you talk about this, this model, if you will, of godliness, this mold that is there of godliness, I think it is, in our common day vernacular, I think it's paved with good intentions. I think it's paved with good deeds. And the Bible talks about here that a form of godliness is there. It looks good on the outside. It has painting the right picture, but there's really no substance to it. There's really nothing behind it. If you've ever seen someone take a mold that will later be formed into something else, they take the mold, but if you were to strike it with any type of force, it would break apart. It would just be a literal form of something, but have no substance that is behind it, nothing of value behind it. And God says the dangerous thing here for us is, the dangerous thing is to realize where this is in our world, a form of godliness. Now, all around, and this is a popular idea, please do not take this wrong. Let me get to the end before I make the application. But we have churches all around this area, all around the United States, all around the world that are doing great things. They're feeding people, they're clothing people, they're helping people. Should we do that as a church? Absolutely. God has called us to speak to the spiritual nature of an individual by meeting a temporal need that they have. God has called us to do that. But that would be a form of godliness, but it needs something else. Look at the next part of it. Here's the full plan of God. Here's the full plan that God has given to mankind. In verse number 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says later on in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." When we find the word power or power of God in the Word of God, it is always tied directly to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says here, you can be close to God's plan with a form of godliness, with good deeds, with good things, good intentions even. But he said, don't deny the power thereof, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel, first of all, it's the proof. It's the proof that our salvation is real, that our relationship with God is what we say it is. The gospel is what motivates us, or what should motivate us, to do what we do. All throughout the Word of God, God talks about the comparison and the union between our works and between our faith. And God said in James chapter 2 and verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." God says here the perfect union is when I have the good deeds, when I have the good works, but they are born out of a heart, they are born out of a desire to see the gospel spread to the world. Young people, listen to me. Traveling to Alaska was a wonderful thing. Seeing individuals and inviting them to church is a wonderful thing. But never allow us to forget that the important matter is that we also share the gospel with individuals. That's the power. That's where the change is going to make. Folks, can I help you tonight? As Pastor said this morning, the power of the gospel, the message of the gospel, that has to be at the very heartbeat, at the very core of who we are as FBT, if we're going to have any kind of success for God Almighty. The gospel must be the source of everything that we do. It's the proof. It's the proof of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also the plan. It's the plan that God has had since the beginning of time. God has orchestrated the gospel from the very beginning. God, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the gospel plan began to work in fruition until Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived a sinless life, a perfect life, died on the cross of Calvary, and then sent Christians out into the world. Hey, tell everybody what has just happened. That has always been God's plan. That has always been God's perfect plan. But also, it's the power. I already read to you Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. God says, without the gospel, you have no power. Without the gospel message, I would do better in this service if I just remained in my seat and didn't say a word. And folks, tonight, as we think about a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, again, I understand this passage was written to us to warn us of those that we should look for in and around us that would be teaching and preaching the wrong thing, that would be going in the wrong direction. But if we allowed it to creep into our own thinking, where anything has taken the place of the gospel, where anything has woven its way into being more important in our lives than the gospel. A preacher challenged a group of teenagers that I was a part of years ago. He said, don't invite people to church. He said, invite people to Jesus. And it's never left me since then. Don't invite them just to church. Invite them to Jesus. Folks, we should be living a life that individuals want to have, that they want to see, that there's a peace that resides in our heart. But nobody is going to be saved just by seeing your life. They have to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we become more and more inundated into a politically correct society all around us, the idea of the gospel becomes more and more foreign to this society. It becomes more and more controversial. And I am afraid that in my own life and in the life of many, we will become much more dependent, if you will, upon inviting individuals to a function or an event, but leave out inviting them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's some people, and please don't get me wrong, you should invite people to our church. We want them here under the sound of the gospel. But can I tell you, there are many, many people who will never darken the doors of our church building. They will not do it. They're intimidated, they're fearful, whatever the reason, they will not come to FBT, but they'll listen to you. They won't come and sit in this pew, but they'll listen to you across the cubicle. They'll listen to you across the aisle. Give them the gospel and maybe little increments along the way, and they will listen to you because you have a relationship established with them. Folks, can I beg, can I plead with you tonight? Oh, let us not go away from what is the power that God has given to us. I never want in my life, and God forbid, I know this has happened many, many times, but acknowledging I never want my life as a believer to be powerless before Almighty God. Folks, one day when we stand before Almighty God, how sad and how disturbing it would be for each one of us to hear God say, well, you got close to my plan. You had a form of godliness. You were doing good deeds for others. You were doing good things for others. You were helping others, but you never gave them the gospel. You never gave them that cure that could save their souls. Now, please understand, I know this is something that with a lot of individuals, it's going to take time. And it's going to take patience. And maybe you're in the throes of that right now where you're cultivating that relationship so that you can have the freedom to say what needs to be said to that individual. But the importance and the power of this statement is God says the power resides in the gospel. The last thing, the forsaking. He closes verse 5 by saying these words, from such, turn away. From any idea that goes against the gospel or any idea that leaves the gospel out of it, he says, turn your back on that idea and walk away from it. Folks, can I encourage us tonight? Don't fall prey to the things that appease our conscience but fail to fully carry out God's plan. Let me say that one more time. Let our prayer tonight be as a church. Lord, don't let my fear allow me to appease my conscience but fall short of your plan. And by that I mean doing those things that we know, these are good things. I should be doing these things in my life. I should be helping people in this way. But leaving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the main things that I desired for our young people to get out of traveling to Homer, Alaska, was the need to see souls saved and lives changed. I think they got a glimpse of that. I really do. They saw individuals that were in need of a Savior. They saw an active group of church people that were actively trying to reach their community. They saw people that were from different walks of life than them that still needed the gospel. And what I'm hoping for now is that they'll continue to see that here, and they have so many times in the past, to see it happening all around them. Say, hey, mom and dad just left a track on the table when we gave our tip at the restaurant. I want my kids to see that. Because all of this that we're doing, it's for naught without the power of the gospel. And my prayer and my heartbeat, not only for the Alaska mission trip, but in moving forward, as I've challenged the young people already, hey, are you going to do this for your friends back home? Are you going to invite them to our youth meeting? Are you going to invite them to Insomnia on Friday night? Are you going to invite them to things where they will become more and more comfortable in being in the house of God, where they'll be under the sound of the gospel? Folks, I'm going to make a statement that every one of you already knows, but I feel like we need to hear somebody say it time and time again. This world is not getting any better. And people need to hear the message of the gospel more than they ever have. That's not going to change. And unless you and I take it as our personal mission in life, that wherever God places us, in whatever occupation, in whatever field, that we see it as our personal mission to enact the power of the gospel, we're limiting God and what He wants to do in our world. We're holding God back from pouring out a blessing upon us and a blessing upon those that are around us. Please don't misunderstand. God will get His work done. He will find somebody willing and ready to work for Him. But don't miss out on God using you to be part of that great team that He wants to use. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this night. We thank You for the good reminders that we've seen today.